Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And I thank you for being faithful to this ministry, this broadcast, Mission from the Heart. And we're going to just really dig into a beautiful lesson today, as they always are. The Word of God is beautiful to those who hunger and thirst for spiritual growth. And as we continue to press in toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the Word of God and through prayer and fellowship one with another, as well as praise and worship, we are going to be the ambassadors that we are called to be. We are children of the Most High God. And when we continue to grow and go in grace, it builds and strengthens our faith. So thank you for being faithful to not only the ministry, but to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God Almighty, that when we are faithful, He remains faithful. When we waver in faith, He still remains faithful to us. So God bless you, and thank you for being faithful again to this ministry. So we're going to look at our lesson today. And we, as I always do, ask that you come ready, willing, and able. Get your paper and pencil, and of course, the most important thing is your Bible. Now, I do have my Bible on my tablet as well as my cell phone, but I will be turning the pages of the Bible today, and you just come ready to take note and open your hearts to receive the sweetness of the Word, that you would receive what the Holy Spirit reveals to you, that you can ponder on that word or that sweet nugget and share it with someone else who may not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that's what ministry is about, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So our lesson today in this particular teaching track is no so faith, not a so-so faith. And if you have faith, you can be sure that there will be a time in your life when that faith test comes about. Think about it. When that faith test comes about, God never promises us freedom from problems or struggles, for that matter. What He has promised us is that He will be with us through every trial. That's a promise. He will always provide us the way out. And that is endurance, to withstand every trial. That's the way, endurance, to go through the trial, the struggle. You are to have, as I indicated, a no-so faith, not a so-so faith, the faith that wavers back and forth, uncertain, unsure. So I'm going to focus your attention on fighting a good fight of the faith. And we're going to look at this, as usual, in Scripture, because I'm one that likes to teach God's Word in light of Scripture. And we don't have to do a lot of extra talking or over-the-top illustrating. The Word itself teaches the saints, the believers in Christ Jesus, in which way we should go, in which direction and who we should follow, and the food that we eat along the way. And, of course, this is through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God through prayer. So let's get right to our lesson. concerning fight the good fight of fight a good fight of the faith. For you note takers, if you will, look, write down these three particular points. And in this teaching track, I always try to give 3 points that will help us see the principal teaching in this lesson. Point one is no cross, no crown. That's point one, no cross, no crown. Point two is ready yourself. Ready yourself. And point three, release the battle. Release the battle. So, again, we're looking at no-so faith, not a so-so faith. And point one is no cross, no crown. Point two, ready yourself. And point three, release the battle. So we're going to pounce right into our scripture that shows us each point concerning a no-so faith, not a so-so faith. And let's look at point one. But before I start digging in to this richness of the word, let's just lift up a prayer of praise to our God, Yahweh God. So if you would bow your head with me and partner with me in prayer, and we are just going to lift up a prayer of praise as we open up this particular teaching track. Lord God Almighty, author and maker of heaven and earth, we bless you by the fruit of our lips, with the pitter-patter of our heart, as we come to the throne of grace, reverencing you, the great I Am, Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are faithful when we are unfaithful. You grant grace and mercy. For we exalt you, we praise you, we fall in love with you, and we say thank you for allowing us to come to the grace, the throne of grace, making our petitions known to you. Lord, bless every hearer of this broadcast concerning this particular lesson. Bless them, Lord, that they would receive what you have purposed them to receive, that they would take away the richness and sweetness of your word and reflect on the beautiful love that you shower down upon us, that they would learn to invite somebody into the ark of grace through salvation by faith, saved according to your awesome grace. We say thank you. Open our eyes. Enrich our hearts. Go before us. Reveal to us. In Jesus' sweet name, amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for partnering with me in prayer as we lift up a prayer of praise to our God, Jehovah. Now, as I indicated, point one being no cross, no crown. So let's take a look at this particular point and how and what it means when I say no cross, no crown. Now, of course, in this particular point concerning our topic, no-so faith, not a so-so faith. No cross, no crown concerning purpose in pain and struggle. That's the cross. Pain and struggle. The purpose in that. And of course, the crown is what we're going to look at in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. So we're going to pounce right in to our verses and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal what he wants to reveal in this lesson today. So let's look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Now, what's the foundation scripture concerning this teaching track? The foundation passage is 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 16. And we will read that in this particular lesson, but I want to just focus on point one at this moment. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to start in with verse 8. And we're looking at the crown. 2 Timothy 4, and it reads this way, verse 8. And I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation, and then I'll reread it in the New King James Translation. And it reads, "And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that great day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his glorious return." I'll reread this in the New King James Translation, verse 8. And it reads like this: "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Now, this is the crown we're speaking about. And of course, it indicates that the crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that great day of his return. And of course, speaking of Jesus coming back for his bride. And for those who know without a shadow of a doubt, who know that they do know, that they know that they are saved by grace. They have confessed with their mouth and believed by faith that Jesus died on that cross for your sin. This lesson is for you. These scripture passages or verses in the passages are for you. And when you can come to an understanding of the kind of no-so faith that we are to have as we sojourn through this barren land called earth, then everything else that goes on around us would not cause us to fret, waver in our faith, or live as if there's no hope. So in 2 Timothy 4, 8, it gives us the confidence that according to the New King James translation, it says, finally, there is laid up for me. Now make it personal. Put your name there. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now, for those who are believers in Christ Jesus, and again, it goes back to you knowing without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved. And if anything were to happen to you, that you know without any doubt that you would ascend and not descend. And you are stating that it is stating, the scripture is stating that you are to hunger for the return of Jesus Christ, to receive his bride, as it indicates in Revelation. Jesus is the groom, and the believers, the body of Christ, is his bride. And we are to look forward in his glorious return. Now we're going to look at Revelation 2, verse 10. So if you would walk with me to Revelation 2, and we're going to look at verse 10. And it reads, I'm in the New King James, Revelation 2, verse 10, do not fear any of these or those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful is the encouragement here. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, this pretty much solidifies point one, but we're going to look at it in even more detail. Point one indicating no cross, no crown. But Revelation 2, verse 10 solidifies it by stating, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. We are to stay faithful until we fall asleep, if you will, or until death. I like to think of it as falling asleep. Scriptures tell us that. And then it says, I will give you the crown of life. Now, if we back up to the sentence before, be faithful, in the New King James, it indicates do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. About to suffer. That means that we are going to have to bear some crosses along the way. Some of us may be heading into a storm. Some of us may be in the midst of a storm. And then there may be those who are coming out of a storm, a struggle, a situation. You know what that is. Some may have just got papers for a divorce from a spouse. Some may have got bad news concerning a child. Some may have even gotten bad news concerning a job, layoff, or their health. I don't know what you may have come out of, in the midst of, or maybe approaching. But the scripture says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days according to the book of Revelation, but it says, be faithful until death. And then he says, you will receive the crown of life. Now let's just look at this and think about the crown of life. The cross was the sentences before what you received. When you're faithful until death, you will receive a crown of life. Now, is that a physical crown, a tangible crown? No. It's an illustration letting us know that we will receive the crown of life, eternal life, for running a race, that we are not to be weary. And let's look at this in 1 Corinthians 9. Now keep in mind, no cross, no crown. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it indicates for us to do not be afraid. Do not be afraid or in fear of these things that you may be suffering with or in. But you are to remain faithful, because our faith is being tested. And I like to look at it and think of it this way. When these trials or these tests come in our life, God allows them. I like to call them faith attacks, almost like a pop-up sign or a red sign or a red light that's flashing things. Faith attack, faith attack, faith attack. And those faith attacks do come up on every one of us when we're going through something. But the Bible tells us to be faithful until death, that we will receive the crown of life. Jesus is the life-giving tree. God tells us, well done, my good and faithful steward. And so we are to remain faithful even in the pain, even in the suffering, even in the devastation. We are to bear that cross because, as I said in the intro, he will provide us the way out. And, of course, the way out is endurance. He provides us the strength, the endurance to get through it. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 9 and move over to that particular book of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 9, and we're going to read 24, start at verse 24. And it reads this way. Again, I'll read in the New King James Translation, 1 Corinthians 9, 24, and we'll move through to 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is perfect in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. I indicated that this race that we run, or the cross that we bear to receive the crown of righteousness or the crown of life, it's not a tangible crown like some are in the habit of running. According to this particular passage, Paul is indicating to the church of Corinth. He said, now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I myself should be disqualified. So let's look at this again. Now, we don't run a race for a tangible crown. We run a race for an imperishable crown. And Paul said, though I run, or therefore I run, not with uncertainty. And that's that so-so faith. That's running with a wavering faith, unsure of what to do, a fretting. It says in Scripture, according to Proverbs 24:19, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. That's Galatians 6:9. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. So we don't run around doing things or as if we are a chicken without a head, fretting. We have a certainty in Christ Jesus. We have a no-so faith. And in our well-doing, in the midst of a storm, whether you're physically doing something or mentally thinking of good things concerning Scripture, concerning sharing, concerning being in prayer with the Lord, or verbalizing praise unto God, even in the midst of the struggle, the pain, we have the certainty of knowing that the race that we run, we will receive the crown, a crown of righteousness, a crown of life. And according to this passage, Paul goes on to say in the 25th verse, but we for an imperishable crown, 26, I run thus not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, or shadow boxing, if you will. Shadow boxing, fighting a shadow, something that's not really there. But I discipline my body and bring it into submission, lest when I have preached to others, I myself shall become disqualified. We are to not box around as if we have no hope in our devastation, in our pain, in our struggle. We are to have a no-so faith. And remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So when we saturate ourselves in prayer and Bible study, then those things that seem chaotic, those things that seem to overcome us, they seem to overcome. Not that they will, but they appear to overcome us. God always provides us the, T-H-E, way out. And the way out is the endurance to carry us through, to persevere. So let's look at 1 Corinthians. So we've looked at 1 Corinthians 9, and we've read 24 through 27. Let's just back it up with 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 4, and we're going to start at verse 8 and read through verse 10. And it reads, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." Not in despair. We are not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus always or also may be manifested in our body. Think about that. And we know how that feels. We know that we can go through so many trials and challenges in life that we're unsure how things are going to pan out in that situation. But one thing we can be certain of is that the faithfulness of our God will always provide a way out for us. And according to this passage, it says we are hard pressed on every side, and every struggle that we experience, it makes it appear as though we're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Yes, we get perplexed, discombobulated, if you will, at times, but not in despair. Persecuted, talked about, backstabbed, falsely accused, misunderstood, but not abandoned, struck down, whether it be physically, mentally, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. So, yes, we take on the hard cross moment in our life, but the crown of life, the crown of righteousness is the promise. Hard pressed, perplexed, persecuted, yes, struck down, but not crushed, not in despair, not abandoned, and not destroyed. Hallelujah. So when we take on a cross, we can always know that the crown of eternity is awaiting us, awaiting our arrival. So let's look at some purpose in pain and struggle, according to 1 Peter 4. Now that we've looked at how the cross concerning our struggles and our pain, we have to go through those. Because why? He provided us the way out. And there's only one way. The way out is the endurance through the pain, the struggle, the devastation, the tears. And we can have unmovable, unshakable faith, steadfast faith, a no-so faith, not a so-so faith. And that kind of faith whether it be the size of a mustard seed or great faith. That kind of faith brings us through every situation. So let's look at 1 Peter. Move to 1 Peter chapter 4. This lesson really encouraged me because I've been going through some challenges. One, with my family, my oldest son, and he shared with me some innermost feelings that he's had concerning some personal situations. And when he shared that with me, my heart was moved to tears as a parent. And I took it to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord and the Holy Spirit moved in me to share scripture with him. And the scripture encouraged him. The scripture encouraged me because I cried for him in my heart. And when that pain came through to me, the Holy Spirit revealed to me the very passages I needed to send him to build him back up in spirit and in his soul, that his mind will know that he is a child of the Most High God, that his feelings will be energized and joyful to know without a shadow of a doubt, my God has me, and that his will to praise God in the midst of that situation he was dealing with on the inside. Everything moved in his soul. And when he got through that little storm, he shared with me how happy he was in the Lord, how confident he was in the Lord. This is the message for us all. So his faith went from so-so, no-so faith. So let's look at 1 Peter 4. And we're going to focus in on verse 9. Actually, we'll start with verse 8. We'll read verse 8, and I'll read this in the NIV translation, starting with verse 8, and it reads this way. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. Amen. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And that's a double amen. Now, I just shared the testimony of my son sharing with me. And just with what this passage reads, just how it reads is exactly what took place between him and I. And it is so spot on because it says, the end of all things, I've started at verse 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. And as long as he, being my son, was thinking about the negative things that caused him to stay in a dark place or struggle with his emotions because of that situation, then he would not even be any good to himself, much less anyone else. But thanks be to God for the word and how it builds each and every one of us up. Because in verse 8 it says, above all, love each other deeply, not just on the surface, but love each other deeply, unconditionally. Now, who is the each other? Remember, Jesus said we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love thy God. And then he said the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two great commandments. Love God first and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, especially the body of Christ. We are to love one another deeply. And we are to, because love covers a multitude of sins, so even if we sin and we ask for forgiveness, repent of that, meaning turn away from it, the love that we have for one another, that God has for us, and we dispense it upon one another. We don't condemn. We don't hold them with an axe. Them being the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. So we speak life. We don't tear down one another. We build each other up in grace. So when a brother or a sister is going through a storm or a situation, who do they call on? The saints is what they should do. Someone that would give wise counsel and build them up in prayer, build them up through the very spoken word of God. We share verses, scriptures that build up the body. Why? Because we are hard pressed on every side. And when the enemy, Satan himself, can get us off course and we find ourselves on that wide road of destruction where he wants us to be, it is God's love, like a good shepherd, using his saints, his children, to bring us back to the narrow road of righteousness. That's the love that covers a multitude of sin, the building up and not the tearing down of the body of Christ. Speak the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap. Faint not, serve. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. He gets the glory in everything we do, say, how we think, he should get the glory. Praise be to God. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So, there's purpose in pain and struggle concerning point one, no cross, no crown. The purpose is that he gets the glory when he brings us through, when we endure the storm and brings us through each and every suffering. And it explains, it puts it very nicely in verse 9. offer hospitality to one another without complaining, grumbling. Why do I have to do this? Well, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. Sometimes we focus on the wrong thing. And the most positive thing that we should be focusing on is the love and the servant's heart that we should have and the faith to know that God will provide. We're going to look at John 16:33. So let's walk over to John chapter 16. And I hope this is encouraging to you as it has been for me. It's a learning curve. It's something that it's not flowery. It's not something that's going to make you feel good, but it's something that's going to give you a no-so faith and not a so-so faith. The Word of God, it recruits, it corrects us, it sharpens us, it provides us wisdom and knowledge, understanding. But one of the main things that I believe that the Word of God provides, lifestyle and discipline. Lifestyle and discipline. It provides so much more. Lifestyle and discipline. 16 verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Now that just makes it plain. These things I have spoken to you in the New King James, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will, not you might, somewhat, possibly, on occasion. No, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So there's just another passage in Scripture that explains to us that the crosses that we bear, because he, being Jesus, has overcame the world, we will receive the crown of life, the crown of righteousness. There is purpose in the pain and suffering that we experience. Jesus stated it, if he suffered, yet so will we. And we know he suffered greatly on the cross. So I don't care what the world may say concerning the cross. The cross is the reminder of the pain and struggle that Jesus endured. That's the word, endurance. Jesus endured it all on the cross. He suffered on the cross for you and me. And according to Scripture, we just read that in this world that we live in, we will have pain and suffering. But be of good cheer. How do we retain good cheer in the midst of our tears? How do we retain good cheer in the midst of a chaotic world? How do we retain a grateful or a cheerful heart, should I say, in the midst of a world looks like that they're going to hell in a handbasket? Easy. Endure, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Rejoice. He provides the way out. There's only one way out, and that's endurance. He endured the cross. If he endured the cross, we endure the struggles. We will endure the pain. And the praise and the testimony is the rejoicing that he gets the honor, the glory, when we rejoice. Okay, so now that we've looked at John 16, verse 33, these are verses that just solidify the struggle and the pain because of the purpose within it. Is that we glorify God and we rejoice to him for bringing us through that. Now, according to Isaiah 43 and 2, turn with me if you will. You can't find Isaiah on your own. Always go to the front of the Bible with the index and look up the book of Isaiah and move straight to that page in your Bible. Isaiah 43, and we're going to look at verse 2. And it reads this way. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And we're going to stop right there in verse 3. That is just beautiful to me. That's reassuring to me that no matter what comes at me, tests, trials, pain, suffering, the promises of God in Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3, indicating, well, we could go right on back up to verse 1 in Isaiah 43, but now, this is what the Lord says. I like that. This is what he says, and I will believe the report of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. And make it personal. He who created you, me, O Jacob, he who formed you, me, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have ransomed you by name. Amen. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, I will not sweep over you. They will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, now that kind of fire or that kind of struggle is severe. He says, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And then I love verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Amen. So these passages are letting us know that we are to press on, press into him when we're going through these painful times in this world or these painful situations. Press, press in. Press on. Don't give up. Allow your no-so faith to be noticeable. Matthew 5 and 11. Matthew 5 and 11 says it this way. It says, verse 11, it reads, "Blessed are you when people insult you." A lot of us can't take insults. We want to fight back. But it says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Because you being a child of God, because of the favor of God that God, he has placed in your path, he's given you, because of the joy that you have in the midst of a storm. People don't understand why you can sing praises unto him, why you can still call his name Jesus, and why you can still honor a God in your walk when a devastation has just taken place. Blessed are you because blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, or falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Amen. He is our reward, Jesus Christ. And we can have a no-so faith in him because he calls us blessed. Blessed are you. And this is right after the Beatitudes, if you will, or the Beatitudes in verses 1 through 10. But verse 11 just really makes it encouraging and makes it very plain when we are going through. But the way through is endurance. I want to look at lastly, I want to look at 1 Timothy 1, 2 Timothy 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Now, we read earlier 2 Timothy 4, 8, but I want to go back to 2 Timothy, in chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 12. In the New Living, in the NIV translation, the New International, it reads, "That is why I am suffering," Paul is telling Timothy, encouraging him to be faithful. Paul states to him, "That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." And listen to how it reads in the New Living Translation. "And that is why I am suffering here in prison," Paul, writing to Timothy. "But I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return." Amen. This is a faith that is unmovable in Paul, unshakable, regardless of his condition, his environment, regardless of what may be present. The faith that he's teaching his disciple, Timothy, is the kind of faith that God wants us to maintain. And a lot of us can throw ourselves away, get into a state of depression, as if God doesn't love us, as if he's not listening to you. He is right there with us, as we've read. And now Paul is telling Timothy, do not be ashamed. Be convinced. Guard what he has deposited in him. That is the very word of God. Guard it in your heart. Tattoo it in your heart. Engrave it in your mind. So when the days of testing and trials come up on you, you can fight the good fight of the faith. That's where 1 Timothy 6:11 and 16 comes in. Fight the good fight of the faith. So be encouraged. We will look at some Old Testament stories concerning point two on next teaching, next broadcast concerning the no-so faith, not a so-so faith. We're going to be looking at point two, ready yourself. And we're going to look at some of the Old Testament passages that shows us how we can ready ourselves and some of the stories where they were ready for battle. So I hope that point one was an encouragement to you. It solidified the kind of faith that we are to have, that you are to exemplify, the kind of faith that is a no-so faith and not a so-so faith, that wavers when a storm arises, that we anchor ourselves in the very word of God through prayer and meditation on his word and fellowship with brothers and sisters through prayer and praise and fellowship. That strengthens our faith. It grows us in grace. That when the time of testing comes, we don't have to worry about a thing. Because we're confident and we are to stay steadfast. So I hope you have made some good notes to reflect back on these passages and these verses. Go back and reread these verses and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you as you read the complete chapter or the whole passage in these verses that I've shared with you concerning this lesson and point one, no cross, no crown. And always remember, there's purpose in your pain. There's purpose in your struggle. And if you allow him, being God, he will reveal it to you through the Holy Spirit. May not be when you want it to be revealed, but you can rest assured that it will be revealed to you according to God's perfect time and in his beautiful way. So this brings us to the end of the broadcast, and I pray that if you missed any of these passages or missed any of the points that were made, you can revisit this broadcast at your own time by clicking on the link or typing it in your browser, www.blogtalkradio.com, and that's /heart, the number 2, heart, M-F-T-H, and that's Mission from the Heart, M-F-T-H. And you can re-listen to the broadcast at any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I encourage you to share this broadcast with someone that it would be a blessing to them. So I pray and hope that you will be listening to the broadcast again on next week, and we will look at point 2, ready yourself. Always remember that the grass wither and the flowers, they fade away, but always know that the Word of God, it remains forever and ever. God bless you, brothers and sisters, and enjoy a blessed day.